let me welcome you to our February monthly call. Tonight, some of you I have seen already at the at-large call, which was quite a long one this afternoon. And I guess this may be the last one for tonight. Let me start with our today's agenda, with the first standing issues. What is the roll call and apologies? I think it will be Julia who will handle this one.
Thank you, Wolf. On today's ULO monthly meeting, we have Wolf Ludwig, Franz Gerbosch, Narin Kachatian, Roberto Gaetano, Oksana Prikotko, Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Jeski, Christopher Wilkinson, Iroland Sipuro, Sandra Ofrichter, Julia Morenetz, Siwanush Vardanian, and Sébastien Bachelet. We have apologies from Jean-Jacques Subrena and William Drake. And from staff, we have Heidi Olvish, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Lang, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Wolf.
Okay, thanks a lot, Julia, for this roll call. Next agenda item is review of the action items from our January call, and these are posted, as you can see, in the Adobe Connect. There have been 2 points. ULO approved the support to the International Action Day on 11th of February. Wolf will contact the foundation and will express support, what I immediately did after our last call in January, what was appreciated by the organizers, and the second, a little bit more complex or time-taking issue was ULO will suggest the following members for crop submissions and support. Here you have the 5 primary names we listed and approved at our last calls, but plus 2 alternate candidates, which are Valentina Pavel from Romania and Veronica Cretu. If, just in case, if 2 candidates on the priority list won't be approved by the crop review team. And we will come back later to this agenda item again. So the action items of the last meeting have been accomplished. Any further questions on this from your side? If this is not the case, let me continue with the next agenda. Yes, I see Oksana has raised her hand. Yes, please.
Thank you very much, Wolf. I would like to propose one more issue. I sent a budget request for Club of Experts, Russian-speaking experts, and I would like to ask you to consider at the end of the teleconference.
Well, I haven't, thanks Oksana, I haven't seen this so far. Probably I have missed something.
Only 5 minutes ago.
Okay, so I couldn't have seen it so far. Okay, may I suggest that we include this under agenda item 5, what will be fiscal year 15 budget requests with Olivier, and then we can include your request under this one. Is
Thank
it
you very
okay
much.
For you?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And let me go over to the next agenda item, which is point 3, what is, as usual, Olivier's part briefing on current ELEC consultations and initiatives. Olivier, once again, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, well, we have quite a few statements that are currently being developed or even voted on by the ELAC. The first one on the list, and I invite you all to have a look at the wiki, which has a link to all of these statements. The first one is the at-large policy advisory boards for GCLE's proposal. This is a proposal which has come out of a discussion which started way before Buenos Aires, and I think there was even some discussion of it in the Durban meeting over last year. The idea is that the public interest commitments which applicants for new generic top-level domains have filed are not particularly well-written, and in fact some of them are not worth very much. And so there is a real concern that the public interest is being looked over by those. And so one of the suggestions that has been recently made by some members of the business constituency in the generic name supporting organization is that the names which are sensitive strings, so you give an idea like .bank or .medical or .health, for example, would require mandatory use of a policy advisory board that would be set up, that would have a number of people on there to make sure that the commitments that the registrar or that the applicant of those top-level domains has given are actually being used and being followed. The policy advisory boards would have members of the public, but also would have the registrar, the registry. They would have a whole mix of representatives on there, a little bit like an oversight committee that would be looking if the domain name is being, or the top-level domain is being well run. The request in that statement is actually for a public comment period to be opened up. And so a few months ago, in fact a month ago, there was a letter that was signed by several members of the business community, but also a business constituency, but also by myself and on behalf of the at-large leadership team for ICANN to open a public comment period on this issue. That was unfortunately rejected because we were told the train had already left the station, as one calls it. In other words, it was too late for something like that to happen, and they were not ready to reopen the application process or the contracts that were being signed at the very time. So what we're now asking, or what the ALAC is basically asking, is for a public comment period to be opened up to everyone and to find out if there is actually support in the community for this type of model, for the policy advisory board model. The ALAC met a few hours ago and voted during the call, voted to ratify this request, and therefore the text that you see here will then now go over to public comments, which has the purpose, the background, the rationale, and a link over to the policy advisory board model proposal, which was drafted earlier this year, and well, actually late last year, in September 2013. So this is going to move forward, and you will soon, in the next few weeks, see that this will go out for public comment for all of ICANN. The next one is the Second Accountability and Transparency Review Team final report and recommendations. So the ATRT2. There has been some text that was drafted by Rinalia Abdul-Rahim on this, with input from the at-large community, but also from some of us who were on the ATRT2. The draft is there for comment, and you're very welcome to comment on it. The closing time for comments is the 28th of February, so we're talking the end of this week. We're pointing out primarily that
ATRT2 report makes recommendations, but it also makes observations on quite a few things, including when it reviews the ATRT1, the first instance of the Accountability and Transparency Review that took place 3-4 years ago. It's really surprising that many of these recommendations have not actually been yet implemented, and so it is definitely important that the board considers implementing those and reads those observations that are laid out in the Appendix B and C and in the rest of the ATRT2 report. Very important indeed. So the ALAC is just reminding the board that this is something of great importance, and we push the board for implementation of the recommendations as soon as possible. The Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information Working Group, SOAC Input Request, deals with internationalized domain names. So that's effectively when you have, let's say, an international domain name that's in the Chinese script. Then when one, when somebody does a whois request to try and find out who the owner of that domain name is, the response is provided, most probably, and in most situations, would be provided in Chinese and using the Chinese characters. And the aim of that working group, which is an outside working group, not part of just at large, but actually across all of ICANN, the aim of that working group is to try and find a solution for the translation and the transliteration into the Latin alphabet of this contact information. Quite a technical subject. That's why we have asked the at-large internationalized domain name policy working group, which we have, and which I think some URALO members are members of, to provide some input for this. And I understand that there is a statement that currently is being drafted, and if you wish to comment on this, please put your comment on the wiki. Third, the proposed review mechanism to address perceived inconsistent expert determinations on string confusion. That's an interesting one as well. Basically, the ALAC had pointed out a few months ago through one of its past statements that there was complete inconsistency in the rulings which were made by adjudicators that were external to ICANN, that were supposed to adjudicate in cases of string confusion, visual similarity, and possible confusion of Internet users. To give you an idea, .cam, C-A-M, would be or could be confusing with respect to .com, because it's just one letter different, and in some scripts the two letters might look different, might look the same. Similar speaking, .car, the singular .car, could be similar or could be confused with .cars, the plural of the word. Now, the interesting thing is that ICANN did not want to adjudicate on this. So they basically contracted some external adjudicators to look at the cases when more than one, first, on the one hand, more than one applicant went for the same word, and then at the same time when some applicants went for the plural of the word and some for the singular of the word, and some went for a word that was similar to another word out there. If I haven't lost you by now, well, certainly the whole matter has lost the adjudicators altogether, because they did not speak to each other. And so in cases where there were four different rulings, in three of those cases, and I'm just citing the example here, in three of those cases it was deemed that there was no string confusion. In the fourth case, there was a string confusion. So to give you an idea, I think that in two cases, .cam was found to be similar to .com. In one case, it was found not to be similar to .com. These are just words, and I guess there needs to be some consistency across the rulings of the different adjudicators. And it's very unfortunate that this matter is only now being looked at, when the ALAC has actually pointed this out several months ago. So the draft which has been submitted here is basically regretting that ICANN has taken so long to react to the overall situation of this discrepancy between the different rulings. Alan Greenberg, who is holding the pen on this, is actually going to beef this up a little bit, make it a little bit stronger, that we express deep regret, and not only that, we will point the board to the fact that we have already pointed this problem earlier. Why is it a huge problem now? Because guess what? The board has ignored our advice and has signed contracts with a few of the companies that had string confusions or potential string confusions. And therefore, there has been at least in one case where a contract was signed with a company that was offering a word that was the plural of another company that had the singular term for the word. That is definitely going to bring confusion to Internet users, but unfortunately, we told the board so, but we were not listened to on this occasion. And we just want to make the point on that. Next, the related issue on the compliance submission process. This is a point which started up with Garth Bruin having worked with, having complained about the ICANN compliance department for a while. Garth runs an organization that looks specifically for discrepancies in WHOIS records and sort of bad applicants for domain names and applicants which are out of compliance and which therefore makes the registrars that accept those applications out of compliance as well. On that occasion, what has happened was that Garth keeps on sending bulk data using a bulk system that it's a bulk submission process. But the compliance department has in its processes, even if you submit complaints in bulk, will then look at each one of the submissions, one after the other, one at a time. The statement which the ALAC is going to submit is basically suggesting to the compliance department that in cases where the subject of complaint is not an individual occurrence, but a more widespread problem that affects a whole range of domain names or generic top-level domain registrations, at that point, there should be a way to batch all of these together for the ICANN compliance department not to waste time on looking at the issues individually one at a time. And that draft is effectively suggesting this. Because time was of the essence, there was a motion that was made on the call, and this again was passed, just like the previous motion, with 13 votes in favor, no abstentions, and no one voting against. And then finally, the ICANN board resolutions from its meeting on the 7th of February 2014 in Los Angeles. That's another issue with the technical liaison group. Now, the technical liaison was someone who used to stand on the board, and there was a proposal by the board to to remove that position because it was of little use. But removing that position on the board also removed the technical liaison from being on the nominating committee, or the ICANN nominating committee. And that's something which we said was probably not a good idea with regards to outreach to get good technically minded people to be able to apply through the NOMCOM process. So the ALAC sent a statement that was ignored. And then now we see the rationale for the ratification of the removal of that technical liaison, which actually contradicts the reasons for removing that liaison to start with, as it was proposed by the board. The board proposed that this was not a money-saving measure. It was just a case of better management and of double, having those people already represented on the board. And the rationale basically hinges on the fact that it's a cost-saving measure. There's obviously a discrepancy here, and Dave Amantillo's thing has been tasked to draft a statement to point this out, and several issues which he very eloquently described during the ALAC call. So I invite you all to keep a watch over this page. Dave did say that within the next 48 hours you will have a proposed first draft on this page, and of course we will be sending a call for comment on that. That pretty much closes the work that we've done. There are a couple of more public open public comments which the ALAC has decided not to have a statement on. The first one is the qualified launch program for new generic top-level domain registries. That's something that really is to do with GTLD registries and does not affect the launch program, doesn't really affect internet users directly. And then there was proposed modifications to the DNSSO operating procedures to address resubmission of motions and working group self-assessment. That's an internal GNSO matter, and looking at it, it did not appear to be affecting users directly. It's more of these internal issues in the GNSO when they have to resubmit motions and when they have to look at how well their working groups are doing. So these are all the inputs. The public comment process is one which is continuous. And so just to let you know, there is a policy advice development page which is constantly maintained. Until now it was constantly maintained by Matt, but soon it's going to be taken over by Ariel, new ICANN staff who is joined, Ariel Yang. And so that I'll put the page on the chat. So that's the at-large policy development page. That page is being updated daily. That's a constant pipeline of policy development that is taking place. If you want to comment, you are very, very welcome to do so. If you want to pick up the pen and be someone who drafts the comments, then you're even more encouraged to do so. We need more people. Just one thing, though. Until now, it was possible, or until recently, it was possible to send anonymous comments. In other words, you could comment on every page and not need to log in. Unfortunately, we were attacked recently by a spammer that sent several hundreds of spam, which staff had to manually delete. So what we have done is to disable the anonymous comments for a certain period of time. We might keep it for another month, let's say, until that spammer gives up, hopefully. And in the meantime, so you will have to log in onto the wiki in order to be able to put a comment on it. If you don't have a wiki login, then it's still possible to comment by actually sending your comment to at-large staff, and at-large staff will be transcribing this and transferring it onto the wiki on your behalf. That's all I needed to say, and I hope I haven't taken too much time, but I'm open to questions if you have any.
Thanks, Olivier, for this briefing. I have seen two hands raised. The first was Christopher, and the second was Sebastian. I give the floor first to Christopher. Christopher, are you still with us?
Hi. Well,
yeah.
Thank you, Christopher here. Olivier, just a word about the policy advisory boards. I have some reservations about this, and I wish we'd had a discussion in Urello before the ALAC meeting earlier today. First, there is a question of principle, which I think you've already indicated, that the ICANN board has been too cavalier and offhand in adopting proposals which had a public interest dimension, which they have ignored. Secondly, if we go ahead, or if they go ahead with the public advisory boards, the costs must be supported directly by ICANN. To go back to the to the registries concerned to support the costs is hazardous, is moving sands. The costs must be supported by ICANN directly, and if ICANN wishes to recover the costs from the GTLDs concerned, that's their affair. but for the public advisory boards to have to go begging to the registries concerned that they're advising to support their costs, that's not acceptable. And thirdly, there's a gem in the proposal which suggests that somebody somewhere is going to decide who is going to be a member of the public advisory board. That is a position of considerable power and influence, and there's no indication in my first reading of the text, there's no indication of who that's going to be. We have already seen that the PICs proposed by some of these registries are a fig leaf, a front. And I think the mechanisms for appointing the memberships of these public advisory boards will turn out to be an extremely sensitive issue. So I really think we have to take a step back from this. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Christopher, for this comment. Olivier, would you immediately like to respond to Christopher?
Yes, please, Wolf. It's Olivier Carpin-Leblanc speaking. I absolutely understand Christopher's concerns, but let me just make this clear. It's actually not too late to comment. And why is it not too late to comment? Because what the ALAC has decided and has approved is for a public comment period to be opened up on the subject of public of policy advisory boards. The ALAC has not sent a note to the board and said we want a policy advisory board to happen or this thing to be mandated. The ALAC has basically asked for a public comment to be done on it. So certainly, one thing that could be done is to take the transcript of this call and Christopher, that your intervention just now could be, once that public comment period is opened, could go directly into the public comment, and that will bring the input that you have to bring into this. And certainly, I'm sure others might have other concerns, and others might have other suggestions as well for this concept, whether it is finally accepted or not accepted, but at least the ability to open the discussion is going to be there, and for a forum to be there to discuss it ICANN-wide and in fact worldwide. The concern the ALAC had was that when the letter was sent by the several individuals to open a public comment period on this, there was an outright response initially from ICANN staff, so not even from the board, but from ICANN staff, to basically say, it's too late, we don't want to even discuss this, and you had a chance to discuss this in the past, we're not going to reopen the discussion. That's where the discussion is, and so, Christopher, you will have the chance at that point to voice your concerns. Had we not opened a public comment period, then there would not even have been a discussion on it.
Okay,
and similarly, some are also asking, what is the GAC thinking about this? There was a question which was asked during the ALAC call, and in fact, the GAC appears to be split on this, and it would be interesting to hear the point of view of individual GAC countries when the public comment is opened, if they are going to make submissions on this as well. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Olivier. I see in the Adobe Connect chat that Christopher posted, I've sent an email to you all to that effect. So this may be considered and followed up again. There was also Sebastian who raised his hand before. I don't know whether this is still valid or desired.
If you can hear me, Sebastian, I will be happy to say a few words.
Thank you.
In the other call, it was it went for 3 hours, and I didn't was not able to talk about it. But about the TLG, technical liaison group. the board vote on the resolution, the rationale was written and badly written, you point out, because in fact it will not be a decrease of the budget, but maybe the same thing, as we will gather the eight experts from two from each of the three TLG member organizations and the IECF together to the technical liaison group will become this group of eight people, and with the participation of people from the technical community from other parts of Iceland. And that will not be a decrease of the budget. And the way it was written in the rationale was not the right way. And as soon as I saw that, I asked for a change. I hope that it will be done soon. But it's in the end of the staff. And I don't think that it's because you are a member of the non-com that the only way for you to participate and to push candidates or to gather candidates for the non-com. And there are other people from the technical organization who are still members of the non-com. And I am not sure that it's a big issue, this one, either. But I understand your point of view, and about the rationale, I already asked for a change within the board. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Sebastian, for these additional elaborations on this. I've seen Olivier, who has raised his hand again. You have the floor, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking, and I appreciate very much Sebastian's explanation with regards to the rationale that will probably be redrafted or re-explained a bit differently. With regards to the NOMCOM, there is one thing which I think is sometimes misunderstood. The nominating committee actually does two jobs. The first one is searching for candidates out there. The second one is selecting candidates. And it's that searching for candidate part which requires a very diversified nominating committee, because when you are on the NOMCOM, and I'm speaking here from my experience when I was on the nominating committee, when you are on the NOMCOM, the first people you look for is your immediate community. And so the technical liaison who was on the NOMCOM had very open access to the IETF, open access to when it was someone from ITU, to people who were in the ITU circles, very open access to the World Wide Web consortium circles, much more than any of the other nominating committee members that were on that committee. So this is where there is a concern that we are effectively closing the door to being able to have this further reaching into the depths of those communities, if there was a requirement by the board to have somebody with such knowledge or such link. So the ICANN board is effectively somehow reducing its reach into the World Wide Web Consortium, for example, if it was to go out there to find someone to build up strong links with the W3C, just as an example. On the other hand, I think it will certainly be absolutely welcomed in our community that the actual technical liaison group will be constituted. And it might be that the benefits of that outweigh the shortfall that removing someone from the NOMCOM has. But that still remains to be seen, and I think that our community will still voice its concerns on this. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sorry, as I am not on my computer, if I can just add two words here, Sebastian. Quickly, because you don't have so much time for the call. But ITF itself, it's the TLG, the one who changed each year from the W3C, the ITU, and the ETSI. And that's the one. And with the TLG group, with the eight people, NONCOM will be able to go to those people and to ask them for the right person to outreach in the organization. And I get your point, but I don't think it's a so big deal what it's happening. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot, Sebastian. And I've seen some approval to what Olivier said before, explaining the work of the NOMCOM. There was some approval from Euro, one of our NOMCOM members. If there are no further questions or comments to our agenda item 3, I have to remind you that we are running short of time. I would like to continue with our next agenda item, what is point 4, what is the final state of crop and regional submissions. As you may recall, we discussed this in more details at our last monthly calls. It was mentioned already under the review of the action items that we made some submissions for this crop request with several candidates, and there was a working group formed last time, and it was Oksana and Julia who were part of this working group, and as far as I understood, the regional submission was posted or filed today. Julia, I give the floor to you. Can you confirm? Julia, are you available for this? There is Sylvia who has posted a link on the respective page for community regional outreach pilot program fiscal year 14. This gives an overview on this pilot program again. And well, if Julia is not available, she confirmed to me today directly that the submissions from our region, as discussed as and approved at our last call, have been submitted and uploaded via the respective application forms. And to my understanding, it's now on the crop review team, where Oksana is part of, to have a closer look on our submissions. And afterwards, there will be also a statement from ICANN's vice president, stakeholder engagement Europe, from Nigel Hickson, who has to review our requests from his point of view and to approve them as well. Are there any further questions or comments regarding this agenda item? Otherwise, I would say this is... yes, I see the comment from Julia in the chat. Indeed, it was uploaded and the confirmation mail was sent. So we can consider this as being done and accomplished, and we now have to wait for a first response from the review team and whether this will be approved or considered in the next couple of weeks. If there are no immediate questions to agenda item 4, let me continue with agenda item 5, what is fiscal year 15 budget requests. And it's again Olivier who has the floor. We had a briefing call yesterday evening on this, and Olivier can give us a short summary on this, please.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking again. So the fiscal year 15 starts in July 2014 and runs all the way up to June 2015. The system this year is a little bit more speeded up than previous years because ICANN is trying to optimize the way that it runs its budget.
And so rather than having two levels or two rounds of agreement for additional requests from regional at-large organizations, this time it only has one, which starts a little bit early, which means that the closing date for this is the 4th of March 2014. That just gives us, I say, a maximum of a week and a half to be able to file requests. There are some requests which I think are not going to be required, that, for example, the ones where we have asked for travel to a regional meeting, such as the regional IGF, otherwise Eurodic, for example, because those now fall under the community, the CROP, basically, Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program, which is expected, hopefully, and that's not guaranteed, but it is hopefully expected that this will be conclusive as being positive and then continue in the fiscal year 15, FY15. So that reduces greatly the number of requests being made or that could be made. On the other hand, there could be requests for the IGF workshop if one is going to design a workshop for the Internet Governance Forums, or other requests for travel to meetings which might be outside of the local, so outside of the Urala region, or other requests such as the making up of material for a specific subpart of a region, etc. In fact, when you look at the FY15 budget development workspace, you will see that some of the other RELOs have already filed a request, but there's also at the bottom of the page a link to last year's budget development workspace, FY14, FY13, and 12, which gives an idea of what the requests have been in the past. It's important to note a couple of things. First, the request form is pretty much the same as last year, so no challenge on that. Secondly, it is shown in some places that the requests have to be sent to controller@icann.org. Please do not send the request to controller@icann.org. An ALS needs to ask the Uralo leadership for its approval, and the Uralo leadership should file those requests on the budget workspace, which is mentioned in the chat. Sylvia has put it over in the chat. And then the at-large finance and budget subcommittee will look at those and file them themselves, with at-large staff filing them themselves. If you have no ability to edit the wiki, or you're confused by this, and I'm here turning over to the Uralo leadership, then just send your requests to the staff@icann.atlodge.org address, and they will put it on the FY15 budget development space. I have heard that there was something filed by Oksana, I think, asking for possible funding for things like an Adobe Connect room and some extra conference calls, et cetera, for to start a Russian-speaking group, and in fact, that's entirely possible. However, this doesn't actually need additional financing, because this is actually an internal ICANN thing, and I believe that there is some funding within the policy development, which is what at large falls under. There is some funding to be able to have extra conference calls and things like that. So it doesn't need to be requested under the FY15 process. Heidi, am I correct in this? Could you enlighten us,
Olivier,
on this one, please?
Yes, thank you, Olivier. So I looked at Oksana's request, and as Olivier's noted, since it is really only in activities such as teleconferences and Adobe Connect room, et cetera, these really fall under normal support that ICANN provides for their APs and SOs. So given that, it really doesn't need to go under a fiscal year 15 community special request, since it's really something that we can just provide if they're either AP RELO if AP RELO and your RELO would like to support that working group, or if Olivier, if you would like the AVAC to first support that or to approve that kind of working group, then we can just go ahead and do our normal processes. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Olivier, and thanks, Heidi, for this additional explanations. I think it's getting clear now that this is not an additional formal request to the Finance Budget Subcommittee. It just needs some formal approval from our side, besides AT Railo. And once, and I see no reason why we should not approve this from our side. So it's up on Oksana to follow up with Heidi for any step support on this. If there are no further remarks or questions on agenda item 5, I've seen that Julia Morene is back in the call, and she asked me to give the floor for a last and short backup on agenda item 4. What is the confirmation of for the crop submissions? Julia?
Yes, thank you, Wolf. Okay, perfect. This works. Because now I will not touch any button on my phone, so I'm sure that you can hear me. Good evening. As you just said, Wolf, last time we discussed in detail so the crop submission and the names, and it was a general agreement for the names of five candidates. So the working group was mainly focused on the application form. It was a work done on the to bring answers to different questions in this application form. We worked together hand in hand with Oksana, and so it was finalized early this week, and it was uploaded today. So the five candidates we all agreed on, and it was a confirmation mail sent to the group, to the review team, to let them know that it's online and can be reviewed, actually.
So. Okay, thanks for this update, Julia. We are running short of time, and I have to push a little bit for the remaining agenda items. What is now point 6, Atlas 2, event planning and working groups. I have noted Olivier here for a short briefing of 5 minutes, what would be a little bit long. Let me just suggest to make a very short update on this. Yes, the event planning is going on. There are different calls of Atlas II working groups almost every week, and this is on a very good way of proceeding until London. Are there any further questions or comments? You would like to add something to this, Olivier?
Thank you, Wolf. It's Olivier again speaking, and I realize I'm probably the person causing those delays. I was just going to say we need more participants from the European region from Uralo in general. Most of the regions are doing very well in bringing in volunteers for this. But this is really happening. This is in London. I know that some of you don't consider London as being part of Europe, and in fact, the Londoners or the Brits probably don't consider themselves as being part of Europe either. But it is, and we need a few more Europeans in there. But as you said, things are progressing very well indeed, and we're going to have an excellent, excellent at-large summit in London. Thank you.
Okay, I was just tempted to say, Olivier, on your remarks, this is not our fault, that UK is sometimes not considered as Europe anymore. This lays more the responsibilities, lays more on the other side. Just my short personal remark on this. But as you said, okay, it would be very wishful if there could be some more Uralo involvement in the particular working groups. There is, at the moment, those people I regularly see at the calls. There is Jordi, who is quite active in this working group. There is Mathieu Camus from Isaac France, and there is Roberto, besides myself, and there could be desirably more involvement from our side over the next months. If there are no further questions on agenda item 6, let me continue with point 7, which is a short, a very short briefing from Sandra on Juridic Open Planning Meeting in Geneva last week, which was a second planning meeting after the first, end of January in Berlin, and both of them have been quite productive in my opinion. Sandra, you have the floor for a short update. Can you hear me, Sandra?
Thank you, Wolf. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you well now.
Okay, perfect. Yes, indeed, we had two planning meetings, one at the end of January in Berlin, and the other one, which is a tradition already, back-to-back with ITF Open Consultation in Geneva. In Geneva, we had around 20 participants attending this meeting, and it was a very short meeting, just 90 minutes, but the results were quite reasonable, and we were very surprised about the, not surprised, of course not surprised, but we were very happy about the very good comments we received. Infos about this meeting and related documents you can find on the Juridic planning meeting page. I just post this link at the same time as Sylvia did, so we have it two times here now. You will find under this, on this planning meeting page, you will find the first program outline. And this first program outline was subject to discussion during that first meeting. Also very important, which goes actually along with the program outline, is the Juridic Wiki. We just, and I post the link again, which we just set up for more interactive and collaborational work to organize a session. In the past, it was always difficult for organizing groups to form themselves, for new participants to join a new working group. And we really hope that with this Juridic Wiki, we offer a possibility at one hand to allow interactive collaboration, and on the other hand, on a long-term basis, we hope that such a wiki can become a sort of a European wiki or Europe database for all internet governance issues, so that you can actually have a look what issue have been discussed the year before, can build upon that and avoid duplication next year. This is on a long-term basis. So everybody who likes to participate in the Juridic process is asked, or we kindly ask you to contribute to the wiki. Each session will get an own wiki page soon, and under this wiki page, everybody is invited to contribute to the discussion, submit ideas, post links to relevant documents, and so forth. And we then hope that the planning process is becoming much more transparent, less repeatedly, and more engaging than it was in the past. It is a bit of a movement, and we are very looking much forward to the results, and we hope it will be a great success, also in terms of keeping the long-term goal in mind that it should become a database for European IG debates in the future. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot, Sandra, for this brief update on the Juridic planning process. I think at our next call in March, in the third week, we can most probably present you a consolidated program outline for the Berlin Juridik in summer. And we will keep you informed on this over the next monthly calls. If there are no immediate questions or comments for this agenda item, let me now go over to the agenda item 8, which is 2014 challenges for the region. I would have wished to have a little bit more time for this at our tonight's call. The next priority among these plannings are the board candidate C15 selection and voting consultations. If you go to the list, to the link which was provided in the agenda on the board candidate seat 15 selection, you can find the names of the BCEC selected candidates, and actually we have five names on this list, which is more or less in alphabetic order: Rinalia Abdul Rahim from Asia Pacific region, from Malaysia, which is Sebastian Bachelet, well known from France, the incumbent for board 15. Then there is a candidate from Canada, Alan Greenberg again, who was already in the race at the last turn in 2010. The next is Evan Leibovich from Canada, and the fifth candidate is Jean-Jacques Suprena from France, which is the current NOMCOM selected Uralo at large member. So we have these five names, and we have to start a consultation round at Uralo, because as we did for the last time, we were the only Uralo who conducted such a regional consultation to allow the chair a directed vote on the final voting. So I do not have time to go much into detail at this call tonight. Let me suggest we will follow up on this on our mailing list, and to discuss and decide about the time frame and an appropriate procedure for this. Do you have any questions for this agenda item?
Well, this is Heidi.
Yes,
sorry.
Please, Heidi. Go ahead.
No, thank you. I see Oksana put her hand up now, too. I just wanted to let you know that the deadline for letting the BMSPC know the proxies is the 4th of March. So it is coming up very quickly.
Well, the deadline for the 4th of March, as far as I have understood, is for whether we would like to have additional candidates on the voting slate.
No, I think that has actually passed. I think that the 4th of March deadline is to let the BMSPC know who in Uralo will be taking the vote for Jean-Jacques.
Yes, of course. Yes, thanks, Heidi, for reminding me on this. As Jean-Jacques Suprena, as an ALEC member, would be usually among the electorate for this final votation, but as he is personally involved, cannot, of course, be part of the electorate, we have to look for a replacement for Jean-Jacques Suprena for this. And this is something quite urgent, I agree. Are there any suggestions from your side who could be candidates replacing Jean-Jacques Suprenard for the final voting? Is there anybody who stands up for this, who is interested for replacing Jean-Jacques Suprenard as a proxy in the final voting? Otherwise, I could make, I could ask whether possibly Roberto would be interested to step in for this.
Roberto cannot. Wolf, it's Olivier speaking. Roberto was chairing
yes,
the board candidate evaluation committee, so he's not
right,
allowed to be a voter.
Yes,
thank you.
Right. Sorry, this was my mistake. I forgot that he's also in on another level as a chair of this. He was involved, and of course he cannot step in for as a proxy voter. But I see Oksana's hand raised. Oksana, you have the floor, and afterwards Roberto.
Thank you, Chair. Oksana Prikhodko for the record. I would like to raise the issue of the mechanism of the selecting replacement for Jean-Jacques Sabrineau and for voting for the board candidate. Can we organize a voting mechanism just now?
Well, the
as far as I understand, there is no clear provision in URALO bylaws how to do in such situations. In
yes,
Portugal, we agreed to edit our bylaws. Maybe
yes,
we have to start with such situations also?
No, please, Oksana, don't make it more complicated than the whole issue is. We do not need a formal provision in the bylaws on this. This was a procedure we discussed and decided when this issue came up first in 2010, when it became clear that besides the three elect members, the chair of each RALO will be part of the electorate, and I expressed more or less the desire at the time that I said I do not want to vote on my personal preference. I would like, as a regional representative, a directed vote in the final voting round. And that's what we decided in 2010, what worked quite well. And I think we can more or less duplicate the procedure we had last time in 2010 for having a chance for regional consultation among our members. And the candidate who will receive the most of the votes will be the candidate I at least will vote for. But other elect members can also take this more or less as a recommendation from their region for their vote. I see Olivier's hand raised.
Thank you very much,
Olivier,
Paul. Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier Cavanaugh-Blanc speaking for the Transcript Record. I was just going to mention for the record that Naralo is conducting a vote to select its replacement voters because they are also in a position where they had to replace some of the voters since some of their, they have two people that are on the ALAC and that are candidates. So they're doing a vote, and I know the time is tight, but they're doing it, and I don't know, Heidi might be able to provide you with details as to how long that vote is, etc. Or Sylvia, maybe you probably would know this. It's not unheard of.
Okay, I was just told in the Adobe Connect by Sandra that Oksana actually asked only for the procedure to replace Jean-Jacques Suprenard. It's up on you to... and Oksana added, and not only for this case, let me try not to mix up the things. I think for the regional consultations, the procedure is more or less clear as it was in 2010. Either somebody comes up with a substantial objection on the procedure we have chosen for 2010, then we can enter into a discussion. If there are no substantiated objections on the procedure we applied in 2010, I think it's a good model to proceed for 2014. It's another question now whether we need a formal procedure for the replacement of Jean-Jacques Suprena, and it's up on you here to decide, yes, you want a formal procedure, you want a formal voting on this, but keep in mind that any formal voting round means a lot of additional work for at large staff and for me as well. So if you insist on a formal voting on the replacement on Jean-Jacques Suprena, we can do it, we can organize it, but keep in mind, the more complicated those procedures are, the more time-taking they will be. Oksana, you raised your hand, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Oksana Prikhodько. I don't remember what was going on in 2010 because at that time even my organization was not created. But I remember every proposition to have voting on every issue. Maybe we have to return to this issue because now we are not on 2010 but in 2014. Thank you.
Well, I do not see, I do not understand the link. I know a lot of AFRI's suggestion on different issues, but I do not immediately recall AFRI's suggestion on this. AFRI was in the discussion in 2010 already, but what was another, another issue? And, I would like to have your opinion whether we need a formal consultation round for the replacement of Jean-Jacques Suprena. This is the most important because the deadline for this is the 4th of March. Sandra has raised her hand. Sandra, you have the floor.
Thank you, Paul. I agree with the that we should not open.
I have difficulties to understand you,
Sandra. Which are going to decide please open up the president of the village. At the moment I have no idea and I'm on the night how we can quickly then vote for Jean-Jacques, but at least we put some degree of transparency and not only for these people who are currently at the vote. Thank you.
Sorry, Sandra, I didn't understand a minimum of what you have just said. There was an echo in the line, and I see that others had problems to hear your valuable comment or suggestion. Do you have a better... Can you make a new try?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now it's much better. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say I don't want to overcomplicate the whole procedure, but I still would like to open up a little bit more transparency, at least among the mailing list, to give other people the chance to raise their hand that they want to replace Jean-Jacques. He is one of 15 ALEC members, and only those 15 ALEC members plus five regional chairs can decide about the next director for at-large. And I think we should, in terms of transparency and accountability, we should open up this question on the mailing list. I don't know how to set up a procedure which
Fourth
of March.
Yeah, thanks, Sandra. I got your point, and I think we won't have a lot of time until the 4th of March, which is next week, to have a long discussion on procedures, what is normally taking enormous time. The only thing I can suggest that the action items of tonight's call is that later this evening I will post a respective mail on the Uralo list, shortly explaining the point or the problem why Jean-Jacques needs to be replaced, and we are looking for candidates for his replacement. And giving a deadline until end of the week to suggest names for Jean-Jacques' replacement, and then we have to vote among those people who are following up on this until beginning of next week to come up with a regionally agreed or approved replacement for Jean-Jacques. Is it a valid procedure to follow up like this? Can I see any comments from your side or approval? Otherwise, I take your silence as approval to continue on Jean-Jacques' replacement as I just suggested. I see approval from Olivier. Okay, so therefore now we have a procedure on the replacement on Jean-Jacques until next week. I see some more approval here. Okay, thanks a lot for this. And after that, we have to agree again. This could be the second part of my mail to ask the community if they would like to follow the same procedure for the regional consultation on the all over candidates. Whether we should do it as we did in 2010, or if there are any better ideas, as Oksana linked to an idea from Afri, and she told me that she will forward this to us to let us know what exactly Afri suggested, so we could take this into consideration. But we do not have endless time for discussion on procedures. We have to come up with an agreed procedure as soon as possible, and then after we selected the replacement for Jean-Jacques Suprena, we need to have to start the consultation about the five candidates. Is it? I guess this could be a valid solution for the moment on this. This is more or less a top priority because we do not have much time for this. This has to be settled during the next weeks, and I think we set a very good example last time in 2010, because we were an exceptional case compared to other railos when we had at least a directed vote for the Uralo chair. And I think this is a form of democracy we should proceed in 2014 as well. Any further comments, any further questions on agenda item 8? Because we are already considerably behind our time schedule. If there are not no immediate questions or comments, let me come to the last agenda item, which is any other business. There are only two short things. One is I was invited for a Juralo presentation at Lisbon University next Friday at a workshop. It's a good opportunity for outreach, etc. And I will make this presentation. And next point on any other business is now Heidi shortly presenting Ariel, who is replacing Matt Ashanti at large step. Heidi, you have the floor.
Thank you. Well, you may know that Matt Ashanti is transitioning out of at large to the Strategic Initiatives Division. And in his place, we're lucky enough to have found Ariel Liang. Her bio is on the chat. She is actually a citizen of China who moved to the U.S. when she was 16 and completed her undergraduate degree at Vanderbilt University, followed by graduate work at Columbia University. Her experience in the world of work includes at the U.N. And at the East Asia Institute in D.C. So very much she's been on the call today with you, and she's also just went through her first ALAC call earlier today. And I'd just like to welcome her to all of you. And those of you in Singapore will be able to meet with her face-to-face. So Ariel, welcome.
Thank you so much, Heidi, and hello, everyone. Thank you for talk about my brief work and educational experience, and I'm really looking forward to meeting every one of you and learning from you, and I'm very excited to go to Singapore to meet all of you. So thank you so much again, and please chat me up or send me emails if I can be any assistance. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ariel. I think we will have the pleasure to meet you soon in Singapore and at other opportunities. Welcome on board. And before I close this call, as usual, Olivier, you have the last word.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier Clapin-Aubon speaking. And I was going to just add one more piece of any other business, but a very significant piece of other business. I would like to bring to your attention the ICANN board resolution on the globalization of ICANN. Yes, the board has put together a resolution, has voted it, to provide Fadi Shehadi with the green light to start work on ICANN globalization. That doesn't mean just opening offices around the world. That means actually moving ICANN out of the relationship that it has with the U.S. government. And Fadi Shehadi has been in France last week, will be in the UK next week, but was in France and was interviewed and explained that one of the possible outcomes would be for ICANN's offices to also remain in California on one hand, but on the other hand, nothing stops ICANN from also opening offices in Geneva and putting itself under some kind of international jurisdiction. A long project, which apparently does need to happen quite fast. Big repercussions for our region as well, since Geneva is in the Uralo region, and it's something which I think you should all be aware of. It's one of the big talks and the big discussions that are going to take place within the next several months. It's very fresh off the press, but you needed to know. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Olivier, for this additional information. I think this is really of great importance. My only slight doubt is whether opening new offices worldwide is the only answer for the internationalization strategy of ICANN, or whether there are other complementary or additional steps needed.
It's Olivier. Let me say this again. No, that means taking the headquarters out of the U.S. The oversight of ICANN would not solely be the U.S. government, but it would be an international something that would provide the oversight of ICANN. This does not make it a not-for-profit U.S. corporation anymore. It then makes it an international corporation at that point. That's the significance of what the board has now given the green light for FADI to look at and what the board is going to be looking at. It might well be that they decide at the end that this is not possible, but the very fact that this is being discussed at board level and the community will be involved in this is particularly significant, because it's the first time this is actually put forward and a time of a great potential change. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Of course, I agree with you, Olivier. I see already there is a competition going on in the chat between Geneva and Vienna of most appropriate alternate seats for ICANN, but this is something we do not need to discuss and decide about tonight. Or Brussels, I see, yes, the game is open, as you see. Well, I think this was the last item on our agenda. It was an exciting call, in my opinion. I beg your pardon that I didn't manage to handle this call in the given 60 minutes time frame, but there were too many interesting or important things on our agenda. I thank you all for your patience and for your attendance, and wish you an excellent evening. Thanks a lot, and speak you soon at our next monthly call in March. Enjoy your evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you in Singapore to those who are traveling. Bye-bye.